You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the Dungeon of Doom. I am Kyle Meinke, Lions beat writer for MLive, joined as always by Ben Raven. Ben, we're at Ford Field, burn the midnight oil after a, 42-17 win for Detroit against the Denver Broncos here at Ford Field. Ben, I mean, you just said off air, like, not much negative to say coming out of this one.
Yeah, it's been a little doom and gloomy, even after like some recent wins on that seven game stretch. But like tonight, like, shoot, outside of like the first pass going for 40 yards, pretty great performance by the defense, and like literally zero complaints about the offensive showing. I mean, there was a little lull, but like, man, 42 points, five passing touchdowns. That's a butt kicking.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, when they went punt to open this game, which ran their scoreless streak to 10 drives, and I tweeted that out. And from the moment I hit send on that stupid tweet, they went touchdown. Touchdown, maybe. I think there was five in a row, right? So I think they got their groove back. You know, they went 4-3 over the last seven games. And, you know, we've been all over them for not looking like a team that was playing its best ball. They really hadn't since the bye. And there's a lot of concerns popping up going into the most important weeks of the season. And of course, the playoffs looming after that. And you really had to wonder what the, you know, what the potential was for a team that couldn't play defense and its offense was struggling with consistency. And we saw some really bad stuff in the second half in Chicago. And they come out here against Denver, and I think reminded everyone that they are maybe not an elite team, but they're a very good team. And when they play offense like this, when they can play just a little bit of defense, and that's what we saw tonight against Denver, this team is hard to beat.
Yeah, and it's just nice to know that there is hope within this roster that some of these defensive personnel changes, you know, it's early, but like, it's really freaking hard to ignore what Ifeatu Melifonwu did tonight. Like, seriously. Eight tackles, two pass breakups, two quarterback hits, a sack, a forced fumble. He somehow added a special teams tackle. I mean, seriously, this is someone who, like, laughed at me in the locker room, was like, I'm still learning safety. He's like, I don't know what I'm improved at because I'm still learning this position. So just to see that natural ability, that natural size, the natural length out of him, it really is like, all right, maybe it was just durability holding him back. Yeah. So, like, man, that's a big reinforcement on the way if he can – resemble that play these next 3 weeks at all.
Unexpected too. Melifonwu, you know, people might forget because he was, I mean, he barely saw the field for a couple of years, but he was a third round pick in 2021. That was the first pick they got in the Matthew Stafford trade. He was a big long corner out of Syracuse. I mean, I think he's like 6'3". He's massive. He passes the eye check. But he had so many injuries throughout his first 2 years in the league. He barely saw the field because of it, including in practice. Made a position change along the way to safety. Barely got to play there. He was kind of an afterthought. I basically wrote the guy off. I thought he was going to be a special teams guy, run out his rookie contract, and that would be it. But with CJ Gardner-Johnson out this year, you had Tracy Walker in there. And Tracy Walker was Tracy Walker. Like, he's... he'll fill space, but he's not a high-end player. He's certainly not a high-end difference maker. And that's why they signed CJ Gardner-Johnson was to, I mean, you know, he's the reigning interceptions leader. They needed more big plays from the defense. And that's something that we have really not seen from this defense at all levels. And they got sick of it. And they last week, pretty surprisingly, put Melifonwu in there for Walker for every snap of that game. And I thought he played pretty good for his first. I mean, he played 70 snaps against the Bears. That was the most snaps he had ever played at that position. And man, right from the first series of this game where the Broncos hit a 40-yard shot to open this game up, and I'm like, oh my God, here we go again.
Exactly.
And then in the red zone, Melifonwu comes through on a blindside blitz and just rocks Russell Wilson, separates him from the football. We got to see a fat guy run down the field for 30 yards. Yeah. That was pretty cool. And really set the tone for what I thought was the best defensive performance from this team in, 2 months probably.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, they had the Broncos shut out at halftime. After that fumble, the Broncos punted the rest of the first half away before kneeling it out to go into halftime. I mean, honestly, everything was working on that defense today. And you asked Dan Campbell about why he made the switches with Melifonwu. It's easy to see when the kid's healthy. There's length, there's explosiveness, and there's playmaking ability on the back of that defense. If those guys are like Kirby, Melifonwu, Brian Branch, thank God he was back to a normal role tonight. Don't ever overthink that kid again. Just play him. Just play him. And you saw you saw a recipe for success, because this Broncos team, not a world beater, not an elite offense, but a very good team coached by one of the best offensive minds of the last 50 years in this league. So it's this was no easy task tonight. And this defense outside, after that first snap, they really did not break a sweat. They really controlled this game. I mean, both sides of the ball, you hear blah, 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 complimentary football. That's what it looks like. That when they beat that phrase into the death, this is what that looks like.
And we've seen it before, but only against also Rams, the Tampa Bays of the world, Carolina, whatever. I mean, we've seen some complete performances from this team, but I don't know, what was the best win before this? Maybe Green Bay 6-7. This Broncos team had won 6 out of 7 games. They're in the playoff picture in the AFC, it's much tougher than the NFC. I mean, that it says a lot about how far this team has come since a slow start under Sean Payton. They're playing pretty good football, and the Lions came out here and played really, really good defense. There was other changes too. We saw Jerry Jacobs get benched. We felt like that was inevitable. I literally wrote a story. I felt bad a little bit about the headline just because we love Jerry Jacobs. Yeah. He's a great guy and everything. But I literally wrote a headline on MLive this week saying Jerry Jacobs' days as a starter are numbered. And I didn't know if that was going to be a change that happens this year, given the depth, with all the injuries and stuff they have right now, or if it was going to be next year. But you could see some of the tea leaves with Kendall Vildor playing last week in Chicago. And Jerry was really struggling. He leads the league in pass interference. He's given up big plays in 4 games straight now. Really was abused against Green Bay on Thanksgiving and pretty much in every game since. And we saw a surprise change today. Khalil Dorsey, who's usually the kick returner, was out there outside cornerback for most of this game. We saw a little bit more Vildor. If Jerry Jacobs played a snap of defense, I didn't see it. Maybe he was out there for a couple or something, but I didn't notice it. And again, I thought it was a positive change. I thought it gave some juice to the defense. We saw – I was really impressed with the pass rush. And while most of it didn't come from the defensive line, we saw some stuff up front. Josh Pascal, I thought, played a really good game. But the manufacturing of pressure, too, off the blitz – Alex Anzalone had a couple of quarterback hits. Melifonwu had a couple of quarterback hits and a sack, with the fumble. Pascal had his sack. But off the blitz, Brian Branch had a hit. I mean, they really brought the heat. I felt like Russell Wilson was feeling the pressure throughout this game and really induced him into some dumb stuff.
Yeah, and Aaron Glenn really does deserve some flowers for this game, not only for having those guys ready. I mean, shoot, I went up to Khalil Dorsey in the locker room, and it was cute how shocked he was that I wanted to talk to him. I mean, the camera came behind me and the lights go on and he's like, man, I've never been interviewed like this before. So props to Dre Bly, props to Kelvin Shepard, props to Aaron Glenn for getting those guys ready, for having the feel, for, like Dan Campbell said after the game, for trusting their gut based on what they saw in practice in those guys, because this was no easy task tonight. Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton is a very, very, very talented wide receiver duo. And I mean, shoot, man.
What did Cortland Sutton do? I don't have it right here, but I barely heard his name.
Exactly. I think Jerry Jeudy was one of the lone bright spots for the, and it was 3 catches, 74 yards, and one of those 40 yards came on the first play of the game. So, I mean, after that first snap, it was contained. The damage was contained. Russell Wilson bought a lot of time with his feet in the pocket. I was kind of impressed by him, but that coverage was tight today. That coverage was tight, no matter if it was 4 seconds or 7 seconds. And that's exactly what this team has needed. And I'm glad you brought up Pascal, because I think this was his best game as a pro. He was awesome on the edge. He was awesome reading screens and runs to the outside. And he had a nice little pass rush there. Whatever they can get out of him, whatever they can get out of anyone not named Aiden Hutchinson on that defensive line, is a massive plus.
And I thought, just to hit the linebackers real quickly, I thought Anzalone played a pretty good game. He got hit with the pass interference deep down the field, but besides that, pretty clean game. And I was impressed by Derek Barnes. He had a shoulder injury in the first half. Based on just what we saw on the field and how he got off the field, I didn't think he was coming back. Yeah. And then he comes back in the third quarter and has that huge stop on the goal line on third and short, forces a fourth and inches, and then Denver gets flagged. The score was 28-7, and after the flag, it's fourth and goal from like the 5 or 6, and they kicked a field goal, which, yeah, I turned to you at the press box, and I'm like, what are they doing? It was conservatism from Sean Payton, which I just wasn't expecting to see, you know? We talked about the defense, Ben, but I really want to talk about the offense. I really want to talk about Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, you just cannot say enough about Brad Holmes in the draft, and we've seen it before. He's gotten great players at the top, which you always hope for, but he's gotten great players at the bottom. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a monster, fourth round pick. He just built up so much credibility. And yet, in the first round this year, when he traded back and turned down the opportunity to draft, you know, Jalen Carter, who I still would love to see in Detroit, or Bijan Robinson, some of these huge names, if they wanted a running back, like, they were eyeing Jahmyr Gibbs the whole time, and they thought 12 was the sweet spot for him. They trade back to 12 at a second round pick. They take a running back at number 12. Everyone's losing their minds over positional value. Like, you're going to take a running back at 12 and not even the best running back in the draft. They take a stand up linebacker at 18. They take a tight end in the second round. And here we are, you know, Sam Laporta, who's that second round pick, is the greatest, tight end. He's having the greatest rookie season ever by a tight end in franchise history, and really one of the best of all time in the NFL. Caught 3 more touchdowns in this game, Ben. I thought the first one was not only his best with the catch and run and, you know, a little shimmy, a little shake in there, and then running over someone at the goal line. But it was pretty big play too, a 19-yard play, and it was still 0-0 at that point in the second quarter. This game looked very different then. Really got the ball rolling. 3 touchdowns, now has 9 on the season. That's franchise record. He's climbing up the charts, in the league. He's got the third most catches ever by a tight end. He has a shot at the record, the all-time record. Second round pick, that's pretty good stuff. I think you could argue him and Brian Branch are two of the best day 2, day 3 draft picks in the entire league, and they both play for Detroit. And then there's Jahmyr Gibbs, another 100 yards rushing today. He does it on just 11 carries. You see the burst around the edge, up the right seam on 3rd and 10. I think the Lions probably lead the league in 3rd and long runs, and they keep working. I think the offensive line has a lot to do with that too, but 2 touchdowns from Jahmyr Gibbs, 1 through the air, 1 on the ground. These guys are special. And yes, I think we would all like to see more defensive help. I know they had their eye on Devon Witherspoon in the draft, but once he was taken by Seattle, they turned their focus to the offense. And yeah, the defense still has issues. I still think it's going to be their handicap in the postseason. But you can't argue with the results. They've gotten amazing stuff from both Gibbs and Laporta. They're both on rookie contracts. They're important positions in today's game and important positions in this offense. They want to be able to run the football, to have guys like that, to have guys like Laporta, who's so – I mean, Dan Campbell compared him to Amon-Ra St. Brown as a rookie, just with how workmanlike they are, how reliable they are. They're always where you want them to be. They're always putting in the extra work. Like, you could just trust them to do exactly what you need from them. And you see that in Jared Goff's trust with Laporta. It's, Ben, I just have fun watching these guys play football. And they're going to be around Detroit for a real long time.
Yeah, they have 5 touchdowns out of 2 rookies today. Like, that's unbelievable. And
second time since the merger.
Unbelievable.
First time since 1974.
Yeah, Greg with Lions PR was busy tweeting out first time since stats tonight once again. But the thing about Laporta is, don't overlook anything what he's doing. Nothing about what he's doing is normal. I mean, there as high expectations as people had for him as a receiver, he's a complete tight end. Like, what he is doing as a tight end, pure and to the point, is just shocking. after the catch, as a receiver, more than competent blocking. Like the comfort he has with Jared Goff makes it feel like they've played for 15 years together. Like Goff can't say enough nice things about him. Can't say enough things about St. Brown. I mean, it's just two of the most steady guys he's ever been around. He's been around a lot of good guys in this league too, but I just look at Gibbs and Laporta and it's like, they landed in the perfect situation. Like it's a perfect mesh with Gibbs and Montgomery behind that offensive line. Laporta is the perfect weapon for Goff. We talked about that over the middle, after the catchability. TJ Hockenson is a great player, but Brad Holmes masterclass to avoid that contract and to potentially upgrade at the position 15 games into a rookie contract. I mean, nothing about what these guys are doing is normal. And Gibbs' growth as a pure running back has just kind of shocked me. Like, yeah. I always expected him to be a very slippery, dangerous weapon, but this dude's a legit running back. It's unbelievable. And Ben Johnson, these last three games in the regular season, I mean, he's coming into his own with these guys. The comfort level is there, and this was a really firm reminder that if this defense plays average football, this offense can beat anyone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everyone? Ben Raven with MLive's Detroit Lions beat here. Just want to point in the direction of MLive's new Dungeon of Doom insider tech service. Sign up now for a 14-day free trial. And then after that, it's only $4.99 a month to text with myself, to text with Kyle Monkey, and to text with Corey Woods. And not only are you going to get updates and analysis from us with some one-on-one individual conversations on the side, but you're going to be on the front line to be featured on MLive's Dungeon of Doom podcast when we come calling for mailbag questions. Once again, check out joinsubtext.com/Dungeon of Doom. 14-day free trial, $4.99 after that.
I did get a kick out of Eminem after this game or during this game, campaigning online for Ben Johnson to stay in Detroit. No, but again, I go back to the sageness of Brad Holmes, because I think a lot of teams, and I've seen it in Detroit over the years covering this team and in previous administrations, it's like, okay, we got a good player at this position, so let's target this other position. Okay. And last year they had DeAndre Swift in that, like, you know, and Jamal Williams even in the backfield, right, as their thunder and lightning. And they had TJ Hockenson, who's a Pro Bowl tight end. And what did they do? Like, they shipped away all three players. And yes, they spent big money on David Montgomery, who's a far better player than Jamal Williams was. And then you have Laporta and Gibbs both on rookie contracts, who are outperforming the predecessors. I mean, it's a win-win all the way around. And when you keep making these kinds of personnel decisions, it's what accelerates a rebuild. You're not just like to be able to improve those positions and to do so while you're getting younger and to do so while you're getting cheaper. It just gives you so much flexibility going forward. And I marvel at it, because I think we all looked at TJ Hockenson and said, yeah, of course you're going to pay him. That's how people tend to do business. And they saw an opportunity to get better with, like, investing less resources in the position. They don't want to pay him $70 million. And now they get to pay Sam Laporta, like, probably what, $8 million over the next 4 years or something. Exactly. To do incredible stuff. I mean, it's really crazy. And of course, running back, you go through those guys so fast because of the injury factor and whatnot. And we saw that with DeAndre Swift, and to get a guy in Gibbs who's been really durable. Mm-hmm. And I think he missed a game or two right earlier in the season, but that'll happen at running back. He's been really, really good for a stretch here and is just really an exciting player. Brings a burst to the offense we only ever saw in little windows with DeAndre Swift. And you just can't say enough about Brad Holmes and what he's able to do with this roster and his resources.
Now, Gibbs is, I forget how fast he is sometimes. When he turned the corner on his touchdown run to the pylon, I made a noise. I made an audible noise in the press box, because it's like, oh my God, he's got that gear in him. And it's just –
People make so much about a J-Mo's speed, but Gibbs is right there.
Absolutely is. And I'm glad you brought up J-Mo. First game with more than two catches.
Teeing you right up, buddy.
In his career, that was beautiful. Four catches, 47 yards on seven targets. He's still pretty shaky as a center fielder. The ball tracking skills are not there. I see Twitter trying to defend him, saying it's a bad throw for Jared Goff. You got to look at the ball. You got to come back. Good receivers in this league can force DPIs in that call. Like, you've got to have an ability to track the ball. But, man, four catches, 47 yards, had one heck of a catch along the sideline that he got banged up on. He was so pissed off. He hurt his, like, I don't know. He fell pretty hard. It looked like he was, like, holding his butt. Like, I think he just hit the ground pretty hard, and he, like, ran 25 yards down the field in frustration, then ran back to the coach and was, like, trying to get back in immediately. And I just think you're seeing growth there. You're seeing him turn into a receiver. He's not that dependable number two, but, like, man, it's just the more you get out of him, the more you see. And like you said, like, the speed with him, the speed with Gibbs, you just got veteran killers like Montgomery and St. Brown over the middle. It's a beautiful mix, because, like, we haven't even talked about St. Brown yet, and that dude was automatic tonight once again.
Well, I was just thinking about him, actually, and I wanted to bring him up because, you know, it's like I wrote that story this week about, I called it a mini slump, and I felt a little weird about it because it wasn't even that bad. I mean, there's context that's easy to understand, too, because he was getting basically double teamed throughout those two games, but it was two games under 50 yards. It's just not something we're used to seeing with St. Brown. He was pretty pissed about it. He wasn't even in the locker room last week after the game, which is, to talk with reporters. Yeah, that's extremely rare. The guy likes the microphone. He was clearly pissed. And came out here today, seven catches, 112 yards, and a highlight reel touchdown you'll be seeing for the rest of his career, where he catches the ball, I don't know, it was 5-10 yard line, something like that, and turns up field, and he's got a couple guys right in front of him between him and the goal line. And so what does he do? He just goes over the top and somersaults into the end zone for a touchdown. The dude's unreal.
Yeah. No, he absolutely is. And he matched last week's receiving output on the first play of the game. And whenever they make it a point to make him the focal point, to get him involved, good things happen. And you saw that tonight, 7-9, just see it. You overlook it because you expect it from him. I remember asking Tanner Engstrom earlier this week, and he, like, before he answered my question, he's just like, we're not worried about this guy. Let's make this clear before what I say I'm about to say. There is zero concern about this guy. And tonight was just a reminder why, because that front flip touchdown was so freaking sweet. Like, that's just, F it, I'm scoring on this play. You just love to see that from a star player.
We've talked about seven different guys or something on the offense so far. I do think we have to talk about the quarterback that threw five touchdown passes, a career high for Jared Goff, 24 of 34 overall, 134.6 quarterback rating. I didn't think he started this game off particularly well, and the Lions did. They had three punts to open the game, but he really managed the game well from there. I mean, he just found the holes that were there, found the guys that were there, hit Laporta a few times on third down. It was a very good game from Jared Goff. And I really liked what he had to say after the game, which was basically, when you get rolling like that and you're on a heater, like five straight touchdown drives, it feels like you can pull any play out of the playbook and it's going to work. And that's just kind of the feeling they had. That's something Ben Johnson was telling them on the sideline. And it felt like it out there. You get the passing game going, you get the running game going. And I think it bears mentioning, you got the starting five offensive line out there too. And I just think it makes a huge difference when you have those five guys. You start to have some holes because you have Vitae out. So when, you know, a Ragnow goes down or a Jackson goes down, then you're talking about Colby Sorsdahl or somebody like that going in there. But I just think it's a huge difference when you got those the top five out there. I mean, they were just moving the line of scrimmage. That 38-yard run by Gibbs, like, he had a massive hole to hit. And once he gets running downhill, no one's going to catch him. It's such a luxury to have a front like Detroit does. And when they're firing on cylinders like they were today, I mean, it's just a tough offense to stop.
No, it is, because it's an equally good group on the ground as it is in pass protection. Even when Goff faced pressure today, he was clean. He was consistent. I think just, like you said, having those five back, being inside the dome, back in prime time, the prime time babies, for some reason they cruise in prime time. and he was just comfortable. I mean, he had a couple lasers today, but like the thing that he impresses me most with is his control of the offense. And I mean, having Frank Ragnow in front of you has just got to be a confidence inducing like visual, like you said, exactly. And props to Frank Ragnow. His brother tweeted after the game, he just had a meniscus surgery in the last week.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's back here playing already. Yeah. I just saw that before we started recording. So like, Ragnow's already has a reputation as one of the most psycho warriors this game has to offer. So just adding another chapter to that book.
I mean, the dude played through a fractured throat against Green Bay. It happened in the first quarter. He played the whole game and didn't allow a pressure.
That's stupid.
He's built different, as the kids like to say.
Taylor Decker's appendix and Frank Ragnow's throat.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a crazy game. I think that one thing I keep coming back to, Ben, is, you know, just thinking about this team in the big picture is the resilience. And we've talked about it in different ways, but like, you know, we talked about the stat this week. They were 5-0 coming out of a loss since their turnaround last year. You know, they're not a perfect team. They do lose games, but when they're at their lowest, when they're backed against a corner, when people are questioning them, that's when they play their best. I mean, the average margin of victory coming into this one, coming out of a loss, was 17 points. And then they won this one by whatever it was, 30 or something. Yeah. Yeah. And they played exceptionally. And I think it's, I mean, you mentioned the primetime stat. I think they're 4-0 this year in primetime, or certainly going back to last year. Got another big one in Dallas in a couple of weeks, by the way. This team seems to thrive when, you know, at these critical moments. And I think it really says a lot about their culture, their coaching, the kinds of players they have on this team. They really are unfazed. And even when people start to question them, I mean, you know, they hear that stuff and they use it as fuel. And I think it really bodes well down the stretch. I still think we're not looking at an elite team. I still think we're looking at a team that's going to get bounced on their end of the bracket in the playoffs. I think the defense is too deficient of playmaking ability, although getting back Garner Johnson would help a lot. But I think this game shows again that, yeah, they had some struggles in recent weeks, and people, including you and I, were down on their prospects and wondering whether they were starting to teeter a little bit on the wrong side of things. They showed tonight they've still got it. They've got their groove back when they have their top offensive line out there. When they're getting just a modicum amount of plays on the defense, they're a tough team to stop. And they're going to be North champs. Inevitably, they just need one more win or one more Vikings loss, and they'll wrap up the division. They'll host a playoff game here at Ford Field, and they play like this. Yes. Like, they can beat anybody.
No, tonight is also a reminder of how important a home playoff game could mean for this
team.
Oh, man,
it was so loud. It was so loud here.
Dude, there were so many plays where Russell Wilson was, like, checking in with every lineman, his tight ends, his running backs, because it was so loud in here. So just, like, it is, like, get that defense playing average football inside the dome, and this team can beat anybody.
They got the Vikings next week.
Yeah.
I'll be out there. We'll have a midweek mailbag every week coming up around Wednesday or Thursday. Make sure you get those questions in via the subtext. For information on that, just go to any Lion Story and M Live, go to the bottom. You got free promotions there. Send a text to Ben or I and get those questions in. It's going to be a whirlwind few days, Ben, here. They could clinch a playoff spot as soon as this weekend. Yeah. If Seattle loses or some other stuff happens. I don't know. I always forget all the combinations. But Seattle lost. I know that. Seattle loses and they're in.
Yeah.
But either way, they're on the brink of their postseason berth, their first postseason berth since 2016 and the first division title since 1993. How old were you in 1993?
I was 4 years old, actually. Yeah, I was. Yeah, exactly. Because I'll be with you in Minnesota next week for my birthday.
Yeah,
turning 35.
It's a beautiful stadium. I'm happy you get to go. It's one of my favorites in the league. It's beautiful. I got a great omelet bar in the press box. Always one of my favorites. It's a cold time of year to be there. I remember I actually covered the last game at the Metrodome a number of years ago. I think that was 2013, maybe. I remember because Adrian Peterson was sitting like two seats away from me in the press box, which was pretty weird. Future Lion.
Yeah, that's right.
And we walk out of the stadium. This is back before Uber and all that, you know. We're walking out of the stadium and it was like minus 30 degrees. And it hurt your face just to walk outside. So bring your parka, yeah. Dress warmly. And bring some champagne
because
it looks like they're on the brink. It's wild times in Detroit.